welcome and good morning, Central. Hey, welcome to St. Greg's, our Creston campus. I know God's doing some good stuff in all of those places, and I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity today to dig in and to continue our relationship series. God is so good. So, hey, as we get started, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have today, Lord, to dig into your word and to figure out a little bit more about our relationships and how we can build a legacy in all that we do. God, I pray that you do wonderful things to everyone that's watching online, to St. Greg's, and to our Creston campus, Lord, that you would just pour out your love and guidance and protection with them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, hey, over the past month, we've been on a journey together, building relationships from the ground up. We've explored the necessity of a strong foundation, the call to put Jesus at the center, walking through the highs and lows of marriage and divorce, and raising our kids in faith, opening our hearts, and letting faith begin to show up in action. I know that God has moved in big ways and small. I've seen him soften hearts over the course of this series, restore what was broken and giving wisdom where there was confusion, and reminding us that his presence is always there, even though we may not see it in that moment. Today, though, I want us to be able to zoom out a little bit and look at the bigger picture, because I believe that today's struggles, beyond this season's victories, beyond even what people see right now, the question is, what story in your life is showing? What is being written? What mark will you leave? What kind of influence will echo long after we're gone? Our title today is Living a Legacy Through Influence. And I think there are some things that we can think about. If you look at an arrow is one of those things that we can consider. It may look simple, but it does a lot of things when you begin to realize the way that it flows through the air. And something to consider for us is an arrow alone doesn't fly. It needs direction, it needs strength, it needs momentum. And today we'll see how faith will work in that same way. Influence isn't always loud or flashy. Sometimes it sneaks out in ways that we never expect. Like when your spouse finishes a sentence and it's not the ending that you were going for, right? I mean, it just sneaks around. And here's the truth. Biblically, legacy isn't about what you leave for people. It's about what you leave in people. And that's where true influence shows up. Proverbs 13:20 brings into a sharp focus that says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Your legacy will be shaped by the company that you walk with. Who you walk with will determine what you leave behind. And legacy isn't just about someday when you're gone. It's about the influence that you're living right now. The reality is life's graveyard is full of good intentions that went nowhere. All because someone thought they didn't need others along their journey. Faith and wisdom and influence, they don't happen in a vacuum. And if we're honest, most of us are sitting here today because someone invested in us, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a mentor, who saw something in us worth shaping. The Apostle Paul and Timothy are one of the clearest pictures in Scripture of how influence creates legacy. Paul was a seasoned leader. He poured his wisdom and his faith and his example into Timothy, the young pastor. And because of that investment, Timothy carried the gospel into the next generation. And that's our assignment, is being able to carry something further. Not just to live faith, but to leave faith. Not just to start strong, but to finish well. So how do we do it? Paul and Timothy's story shows us the three truths about living a legacy through influence. The first one in your notes is wisdom requires relationships. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:5, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. Timothy didn't invite faith on his own. He inherited it. From a grandmother who prayed, from a mother who modeled Christ, and from a mentor who invested. Faith comes to us through the prayers of someone who loves us, through the examples of someone who lives Christ daily, and through a mentor who invests some time and wisdom in our lives. You see, when we think of shooting an arrow and you put it into a bow and you're getting ready to stretch and that string and getting ready to pull that string out, there's that tension that needs to have in order for the arrow to fly through the air. And that's what it feels like when God's people push, correct, and guide you. Relationships with mentors and peers and family help propel faith forward. And even though it takes effort and work, our faith, without the right people guiding us, will not get us to where we need to go. But the exciting part is that the inherited faith comes alive when we see it modeled. When you see someone doing something that seems like it's impossible. You know, maybe they're nice when somebody is mean to them. They're modeling that Christian behavior, that Christian character. It comes alive when we see it practiced. It comes alive when we're tested and when we respond in obedience. Timothy just didn't hear God. He served and he walked with Paul and he lived out what he learned. And that's the faith that becomes real. Think about it. Who prayed for you before you ever knew to ask for? Who modeled Jesus in that small daily things? Or who was walking with you right now? Who's walking with you where they're helping you take that next step in faith? You know, and if it's your first time, if you're here today, if you're watching online and you're trying to figure out that walk and how to find those connections, well, we know that connecting together in our connect groups is a huge way of being able to find those things that are modeled and practiced and things that we can see in obedience. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. But the reward of seeing an inherited faith comes alive in your life, and it's a powerful statement that takes place. It connects you to God and strengthens your spiritual growth and creates a ripple effect that reaches beyond your lifetime. The faith that you inherited today isn't just for you. It's a legacy that you can pass on. And a couple of just short scripture verses in Psalm 78, it talks about how God's people are instructed to tell the next generation about his work and his faithfulness, how faith is transferred and not self-created, and having the hope in God. It's incredible. It's our responsibility to be excited about what God is doing in our life. It's our responsibility to tell the next generation about his works and what he's doing in us. Deuteronomy 6 has given parents a command to teach their children and be diligent about that. Passing faith along with through their daily life. And Pastor Ryan talked about parenting and how important that is to cast that vision onto our kids and to live that character so that our kids can see. So they can repeat what we're doing and what we're saying in a godly way, to give them the resources to be able to be successful, to hold back the technology and the computers and the screens that is so impacting our kids today. The people you walk with will either push you higher or they'll pull you lower. They shape your thinking, your habits, your faith, and even your decisions. And so the point that we make today is that your circle defines your ceiling. Walk with the right people, let them push you, and watch your ceiling rise. See how you begin to take steps that you never knew you could. Walk alone, and you risk staying flat. You risk staying in that valley where you can't ever see the top of the mountain. Many people in your circle have never maybe seen the faith lived out. They only know it from movies and memes and church gossip. If you stay silent, someone may die without ever hearing the hope that you take for granted. Paul raised Timothy up because Timothy walked with him. Timothy wasn't in isolation. He didn't try to figure it out alone. He learned and he observed. and he grew through a relationship with those that were seasoned in faith. You see, alone, if we're alone, it's risky. And the reason that it's risky is because idleness plus isolation equals destruction. When you cut yourself off from godly people, you cut yourself off from godly wisdom, accountability, and encouragement. Without others sharpening you and correcting you and inspiring you, your growth stalls and your faith becomes weakened. Paul illustrates this perfectly with Timothy in Philippians 2:22, where he says, "But you know how Timothy has proved himself? Do you know how you have proved yourself? Like a son with his father, he has served me in preaching the good news." And that text demonstrates that Timothy's success and spiritual maturity weren't accidental. They were the result of a relational investment. You see, wisdom is a slow burn. It multiplies when you walk with the right people. It multiplies when you walk with the right people. We have a great opportunity in our church to be able to see that there is an influence that's going on, that things are happening in our relationships, where wisdom begins to go into our relationships and we begin to grow, we begin to see God do great things. And I'm excited about that. The second point that we have today is multiplying influence through faithful investment. You see, if we take that arrow and we begin to pull the string back and we begin to let it fly through the air, there's something that begins to take place. There begins to have an energy that takes place. There begins to have that leverage that you had with that bow, and it begins to take that arrow and it begins to look for that target, what you're aiming for. What are we aiming for today? What are we trying to multiply? What are we trying to have influence in? What are we trying to faithfully invest in? Well, in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells Timothy, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." You see, real influence isn't just about what you absorb, but it's about what you pass on. Paul wasn't pouring into Timothy so he could just hold on to it himself. He was teaching him to be able to pass it on. So what are we passing on in this relationship series? We're passing on the fact that you can have a center in Jesus, that Jesus is your rock, that he is your foundation. We're passing on to our community and to our family and to our friends that you can have a relationship, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you've been divorced, whether you're going out in retirement, but that relationship can be centered around Jesus. Because we have to be able to pass it on, to know that God is in our lead. He's leading us. Influence multiplies when it flows through you, not just to you. I think of a coach as I coach and training a player to be able to fight through that wall, to fight through that adversity. Day after day, correcting them, encouraging them, pushing them through to grow and to be quicker and to be able to adapt to their adversities and to continue to make them to understand that it's about the team, it's not just about them. And when we look at Timothy's faith and leadership, it was developed and shaped by Paul's ongoing intentional investment. And we think about that, how Paul could have kept all that wisdom for himself, but he didn't. He shared it because he did it, because when he did it, the gospel multiplied. And that's how influence works. Multiplication is about action, not about age. Timothy was young and probably under 30, but Paul didn't wait for him to grow up spiritually or professionally before giving him responsibility. He trusted Timothy with teaching and leading and passing on faith to others. Your age, your title, your perceived readiness doesn't limit God's ability to use you to multiply faith, to fill the seats that are sitting next to you that are empty, to help you to understand, to be able to start now, to step in, to pass on what God is doing in your life, whether it be small like a mustard seed or huge like a rock. God wants you to be able to pass on what he's doing in your life. You see, faith rubs off on people when you walk with them long enough. Your habits, your words, your faith, they reproduce in others. And I see that so often, especially with little kids. You see them begin to adapt to what they're seeing. They begin to adapt to what they're hearing. They begin to adapt to what they see you doing. And if we're passing on the godly scriptures, if we're passing on godly character, if we're passing on the things that God's working within us to our kids, they will begin to have a foundation and a threshold to be successful in their walk with God, like Timothy was when he was with Paul. But the question that we have to ask is, our mask killing our influence? Do we live a fake Sunday-only faith, where people around us, our kids, our spouse, our friends, may walk away thinking that faith is irrelevant, that there's nothing there that draws me to the excitement of the gospel, the excitement of the love. It's just a Sunday experience, but there's nothing alive. There's nothing that gets me to want to live for him outside the doors of our church. And we have a responsibility to multiply and to build our faith and invest in the influence of what God's doing in our life. Because influence is contagious. Authenticity in our faith is the single greatest thing that we can do to leave a legacy that lasts. To be real in our faith to where others are drawn to it. This coming Wednesday, our FCA huddle here in town is having a global event called Fields of Faith, and we're going to be at our Carroll Athletic Stadium, and we're going to be sharing the gospel, and it's going to be incredible, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. But this is what's happening. Teenagers are going to be sharing their faith. Two of the students are here that attend our church. They're going to be sharing what the gospel is doing in their life, and they're excited about that. It's being contagious. And their influence is beginning to do some things that they may never even thought was going to take place. They're authentic. And Paul and Timothy didn't just preach faith. They lived it every day. And that's how the gospel is spread. Pastor Ryan talks about how, why can't a revival happen here in Carroll? Why can't it? This is exactly why it can. Because they lived out every day. Through daily life, consistent examples, intentional mentorship, and it begins. Because somebody sees you living a faith that's contagious, and they begin to want to be a part of something that you're doing. That's the explosion of connect groups, because they want to be a part of something that is going to change what their trajectory is. We think about Paul, even in his chains, he preached and he prayed and he discipled and wrote letters, faithful every day, despite persecution and uncertainty. Timothy, well, he leaned into Paul's mentoring, carried the gospel forward, and didn't let the youth or the fear or the inexperience stop him. Because Paul invested in Timothy, responded, the gospel multiplied beyond our lifetimes. And you and I are proof of that faithfulness today. And so your faithfulness today becomes someone else's breakthrough tomorrow. Isn't that exciting? Your faithfulness today becomes a breakthrough for somebody else tomorrow. Sometimes we ask, what is our value? What is our purpose? What is our goal? Our goal is to be there for somebody else so they can have a breakthrough tomorrow. Because the way that you're living for Jesus today. You see, the seeds that you plant today may not bloom for years, but they will bloom. Your prayers, your encouragement, your sacrifice matter. God often writes the story. What you begin, others finish. And what they finish, others multiply. And it's incredible. It's incredible what begins to happen when people become not just faithful, but begin to exercise that love to others. It's like Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher. He was faithful showing up every week. One day he shared the gospel with the young shoe salesman, Dwight Moody. That one small act, Moody led Moody to Christ. Moody preached to millions, and through Moody, Billy Sunday and later Billy Graham were reached. Millions more heard the gospel, all because one faithful man showed up for another young man. And that's the power of a faithful investment. What feels small in your hands today may become someone else's miracle tomorrow. 1 Timothy 4:12 just encourages, it says, don't let anyone think of us less because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live and your love, your faith, and your purity. And how many of us today want to be young? Amen. I want to try to stay young as much as I can. And here Timothy, Paul is encouraging us in Timothy, don't think anything less of you because you are young. Continue to do what God's called us to do. Because the result is, Paul was faithful to invest and Timothy was faithful to respond. And the gospel spread beyond their lifetime. And you and I are proof of that. And the same way is true for us. The prayer that you pray for your kids now may become the foundation of their faith later. The encouragement you give a coworker today may be the moment they finally believe God sees them. The sacrifice you make for the church now may be the open doors for the next generation to know Jesus. Because faithfulness is never wasted. What feels small in our hands today may become someone else's miracle tomorrow. And that's the power that we have in faithfulness. They may feel small, but they have an eternal weight that is carried. Can you imagine if Paul had said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I'm just going to finish my race and not worry about who comes after me. I am tired. I am struggling. I don't know if I'm going to finish the race, but if I do, I'm going to finish the race and I'm not going to care about anybody else around me. We wouldn't be here today. Every person that Paul invested in, Timothy, Titus, and others, became carriers of the mission. Influence is never just yours. It's meant to be shared. And so as we begin to think about what that core idea is that you can't grow God's way alone. Influence multiplies when you invest in others. And that is our responsibility. That is our goal. But it's not just something that we do. It's something that we should love. It's something that we love to be able to see others come to know Jesus. And so point number three is living a spiritual mark. Leaving a spiritual mark. Paul's life didn't just leave memories, it left momentum. Because he invested in Timothy, the gospel carried on. Because Timothy invested in others, the faith reached generation after generation, even to us today. And so as we think about that legacy, we have to understand that it's a marathon and not a selfie. It's not about how many likes you get today. It's about the lives that shape tomorrow. It's a work in progress. And you're going to have ups and downs. And you're going to have valleys. And you're going to have mountaintop experiences. And you're going to be in a connect group. Or you're going to be part of the process where you're trying to share things. And it may not be going exactly the way you want. It's a marathon. But every word of encouragement, every prayer, every act of obedience creates a ripple effect that lasts beyond your lifetime. I know in my life, when my parents accepted Jesus Christ, they began a ripple effect in my family. They began a ripple effect in the gospel presentation that today I can stand here and know that I know Jesus because of what they did when they accepted Jesus. So they were the first ones in our family that made that decision. And it was a ripple effect. And I am so thankful for what God did in them that allowed our family to continue to grow in him. Think about Paul at the end of his life. He could honestly say in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. The rhythm. Notice the rhythm of that life. Faithfulness over time. There isn't, I don't like it anymore. I'm gonna walk away from this. I'm just gonna do my own thing. I don't want to be involved. But Paul is trying to encourage us that I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. There's faithfulness over time. And Paul didn't leave for applause or social media or short-term recognition. He lived for eternity. His investment in Timothy and Timothy's willingness to walk in that investment multiplied the gospel beyond what they ever thought. And so as we begin to see that, we can go back and come back in a full circle back to 2 Timothy 2:2, where he says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses." Can I tell you this morning that you are a reliable witness as you share your faith, as you live for Jesus? You are a reliable witness. "Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." I believe that each one of us have influence in people's lives. And so if you would take five people that are your closest friends, and that is your area of influence, and two of them know Jesus and three of them don't, you have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus to them. And when they accept Jesus, their area of influence begins to multiply in another group, in another way, because of what you did. Legacy is about entrusting what you've received to the next generation. It's about ensuring that what God has given you, what God has taught you, doesn't die with you, but it continues to live with others. It's passing the torch. It's allowing them to thrive and to allowing them to grow. You see, we don't just leave memories. We leave momentum. We leave momentum. We want you to be able to be excited, but that momentum of your passion for Jesus, as you're leading a group, as you're leading in the serve team, as you're doing things for Jesus, as you're coming to Fields of Faith on Wednesday and helping us pray and lead people to Jesus, as you come and take that exciting step, you're building momentum, and even though you leave, you pass the torch, you've encouraged those around you, and God begins to do something that only He can, and revival begins to take place. Every small act of faith compounds over time. And if we would think about it, our prayers, our words of encouragement, our willingness to serve, our acts of obedience, they don't just happen in a vacuum. They have that ripple effect again. And they build momentum that carries forward long after the moment has passed. You see, today, when you watch this service, when you watch this message, it's not just for today. But the goal, the passion, the desire is that that we build momentum that carries forward long after this is done. When you don't watch this anymore, but you're doing it out there in your life. Every small act of faith compounds over time. The truth is, every single one of us is writing a legacy right now. The question is whether you're remembered. It's whether what you do today will influence someone tomorrow. Every choice, every act, every conversation contributes to the story that God is writing through your life. Legacy isn't built in grand gestures alone. It's built in the daily, consistent, intentional choices to live faithfully for Him. Like Paul and like Timothy, you may never see the full impact of your faithfulness, but it will be felt. Legacy isn't just about influence today. It's about shaping the faith that will echo into tomorrow as the gospel is being shared. And your life is more than a memory. Your life is about momentum. So ask yourself today, what kind of momentum am I creating? What kind of words, what kind of habits, what kind of faithfulness am I showing? What am I giving? No act is too small when God multiplies it through others. But be intentional. Invest in people. Mentor them. Pray with them. Live with them. Can be consistent with them, knowing that your faithfulness carries the weight that will lead them closer to Jesus. And so today, as we close this series, think about that legacy that's being built through your relationships. If you're single, pursue mentors. Pursue small groups and relationships that will sharpen your faith. Don't be dampened by a relationship that you desire and that will hold you back. But draw closer to Him that you may be able to be a witness to others. If you're married, invest in your spouse and in other couples. Show your kids what faith in action looks like through the marriage and through your partnership. If you're a parent, model that relationship-based wisdom. Pray with your kids. Teach them. Show them how to follow Christ, not just in the words, but in life. If you're searching for that connection, that hope, and that love that only Jesus can offer, I ask you to come to Him today. Just like Paul and just like Timothy, your faith, your guidance matters to Him. Every moment, every investment, every word of encouragement is an act of love, and it all counts. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate fools and get in trouble. Leave a legacy that is worthy of leaving. Walk with the right people, invest with others, and leave a spiritual mark that ripples for generations. Let's pray.